You know the Lord is merciful. There, I will say, even in those capacities and roles that we all fill in our lives, it's, Lord, you know we mean well. We make mistakes sometimes. Would you fill in the gap for us because we're doing the best we can? I feel that way as a parent. I have prayed many times as a parent, Lord, guide us, give us direction, give us wisdom. And there are some times as a parent, frankly, you get to places in life you don't know what to do. And I find that usually people that have all the answers don't have children, or they haven't faced certain circumstances of life, because frankly, there are some places, Lord, I just flat out don't know what to do. And it's because there's not always a perfect answer. And in those times, it's, Lord, fill in the gaps for us, because we're doing what we can, but we need the Lord to guide us. But one of the principles that I have found, and again, I haven't always been perfect in it, but one of the things that will enable us to be a more successful parent is to be a consistent parent. Just like we spoke about in temporal things, and as in husbands and wives, in management, consistency is of paramount importance. As parents, consistency will bring about stability for our children. If our children are always wondering, what's dad or mom going to do this time, it brings instability in the home. Consistency in love is important. Our children should never question the love that we have for them. And if I do this, then mom and dad won't accept me, or they won't love me. Our love and expression of it, verbally and otherwise, should be a constant in our homes. But discipline should also be a constant. As parents, there are times it would be easier to turn a blind eye to our children when they disobey. But when we turn a blind eye to our children, we know they're being disobedient. Do you know our children are pretty smart, aren't they? And we do not want our children to learn that they will only be disciplined depending on the mood of mom or dad. Our discipline for our children should not be based upon our feelings or emotions either. And I will say there has been more than one occasion I've had to humble myself to my children, not because I disciplined them, not because they didn't need exactly what they got or said to them exactly what was said, but because I recognized I should have had a little bit more, should have sought the Lord for a little bit more patience in my spirit before I dealt with their spirit. And then that almost starts to dilute the discipline or the correction that takes place. So being in a place of consistency and temperance in our spirit will be a great asset as parents in raising our children, in teaching our children. Important with our children always to keep our word. Now, I know we just jumped into it this afternoon, but just wanted to continue on. Being consistent when we tell our children, if you do this, this is what, if you do this, there'll be a reward. This is what we're going to do. It's important to follow through with that. And not just put it off. It's not always convenient to say, well, we're going to do it eventually. And pretty soon, the reward aspect is lost when you don't follow through quickly. When you tell a 3-year-old that if you do this, we're going to go and we're going to play a game together, and then you get busy and get wrapped up in something else, you're teaching your children something. Mom or dad says this, but we can't expect it to happen. And then the reward is lost. The same thing applies to discipline. If we tell our correction, see, discipline should be about correcting a behavior. It's not about punishment, it's about correcting a behavior. If we tell our children, if you do this, these are the consequences, and then we don't have the energy to follow through with it, we are instilling in our children that you can get away with it even if mom and dad says this is going to happen. And I don't understand, and I'm not preaching at anybody here, but if any, there are people that may listen to this as well, But I never espouse the doctrine of counting to my children. If I tell my children something and I start counting, what's the point? I'm telling my children, you have five times to obey me. When really we want to teach our children that when I tell you something, we want obedience. Not one, two, three, four. Okay, I'm going to wait till five because I know I won't get popped until six. And so I'll wait till five to just give as much time to do what I want to do until I have to obey. You see, if we give our children time to think about what we told them, that's all right. So wait a few seconds if you need to do that. But counting lets our children know that I can wait till this time before I have to obey. The point in correction is to teach our children respect for authority. We're trying to teach them obedience, and we want to teach them to obey instantly because as the Lord, I know the Lord is merciful for us, and there's a place for us to have mercy with our children. But what do you think if God said, all right, Michael, go do this? Now, you heard what I said, Michael. God is saying, Daddy's saying, see, God's saying, go do this. Michael, one, two. We would think, well, God doesn't need to do that. With children, it's the same way. We're giving them more time to act out when really we want to instill in them when we speak, they need to obey. And there are also times in being consistent that I've seen many times, and I won't stand here and tell you I've never done this, all right? But if we tell our children, if you do this again, there was something recently I told one of my children. I said, if this happens, and they had a reward, it was a benefit in their life. But I said, if you abuse this trust, I said, that's going in the trash. If you misuse this and you don't use this like we've agreed upon, we're real clear and understanding, so let's talk about it before there's a problem. If you use this in this way, there's no discussion and you're losing the privilege. It happened. And I took it and I said, this is going in the trash. In a discussion, we dealt with it beforehand. We talked about it. Do you know, as parents, it's too easy for us sometimes because we don't want to expend the energy to follow through on what we tell our children to compromise the reward or punishment that we told them. Or correction, understand. As parents, we do our children a disservice if we tell them, if you do this again, this is the consequence, and they do it, and we give them another chance, another opportunity. Now, there's a place of mercy, but it needs to be recognized mercy. Understand? But if it's because, and if we tell our children and say, you do this, you did it once, and we say, don't do that. I've watched children do this over and over, as of all of us. I've watched parents bicker with their children. Have you ever watched parents argue with their children? I want to encourage us as parents, you are a parent. Your child, whether they're 3 or 15, they are a child, and they are to be the ones submitting to you, not you submitting to them. And I've heard bickering between parents and children, and the parents start sounding like a child. We should not argue with our children. Arguing is different than when our children get older. There is a place of discussing things. There's a place of listening to our children. Consistency. Being there to listen and understand. But at the end of the day, we need to be parents. And Lord help us to learn, we're living in an age in society where too many parents are pursuing friendship beyond parenting. I want to be a friend to my daughter, a friend to my son, to the point, and friendship is important. But it's more important, especially in the formative years, that we be a parent, that they learn obedience and respect. Because a friendship is not based, friendship is based on a little different level. Friendship is more based on a level of equality. Understand? Now we can be friends with our children. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm dad first. and then I'll be your friend. Then we can enjoy going and doing things together and having fun together and playing with one another. But first, I'm dad. And there is a line that you do not cross. I am not an equal. Children, your parents, you are not an equal with your parents. They are a position of authority, and there is a line that if you're not careful, you can get too free, even in fun, and you cross a line of respect. And as parents, we need to maintain that line in our home. It brings security to our children because they know what to expect. Dad says, if I do this, this is the consequence that's going to happen. But again, too many parents say, Mama said, don't do that. Don't do that. And then they do it again. Now, do you know what Mama said? I'm going to tell Daddy. Well, Mom, be Mom. Learn, teach your children to have respect for that authority. I will say there's one thing I learned at a young age in our home, and that was not to try to play Mom and Dad against each other. There was one thing my father would not tolerate. There was no discussion either. Was disrespect to his wife. You understand, this is now my wife. If one of my boys, one of my children is disrespectful to their mother, that's not just their mother, that's my wife they're being disrespectful to. And we learn real quick, you don't disrespect Mom. And as a man, as a husband, that's one of the places of consistency in the home that we show the respect for our wife, that our children would learn that same respect that's required in the home. When children are taught what to do and not to do, it brings stability in the life. When there's always a back and forth and a lack of discipline in the home, you know, children, no child is going to stand up and say they like to be corrected. But the reality is, those children that are corrected are much more stable and happier children because of it. Because they know what to expect. And too many homes have become a place of chaos because of a lack of consistency. Today we discipline, tomorrow they get away with it. They can talk back today and Mom and Dad just kind of ignore that they're talking back, and then tomorrow all of a sudden they're going to be parent and they're going to get us in trouble because they're going to teach us respect, and then the next day it really doesn't matter. Do you know that inconsistency really undermines what we want to teach our children and what we want them to grow up to be. So I would encourage us to start young. One of the things about consistency, and I will say I have, I've made my failures. I told Renee a while back, I said it feels kind of, sometimes we look at our failures as parents and we wish we would have done better, and we look back and say, well, I could have done that better. And some things, Lord, we did the best we could. We had to do over again. I don't know what all we'd do differently, but do you know that God was the perfect father and His children still rebelled against Him? And I say that for the encouragement of parents, because God, He said, I gave you the choicest vineyard. I put the best planted the choicest grapes. And He said, still, there was rebellion and you turned away from God. So I know that there is no perfect way that our children will grow up just like we want them, because they're free moral agents. But we can minimize some of the struggles as parents. We can minimize through consistency some of the battles they have. I would encourage every parent, and I speak from experience here, in my own experience and also watching in other parents' lives, be watchful of your children. Be watchful. Too many parents get oblivious of what's going on in the lives of their children. And everybody else seems to know it except the parent themselves. And we need to be watchful. What are our children doing? How are our, even from a young age, how are they behaving? How are they acting? How are they conducting themselves? And they get into teenage years. Do you know, we, all of us, want to think the best of our children? And we want to trust, but I would give those of you that have young children coming on, I give you a word of caution. If you think something's not quite right, something just seems wrong, but you can't put your finger on it, more often than not, something is wrong. God gave parents an instinct. And the Lord doesn't want us to be naive. I've seen a lot, oh, surely not my son, not my daughter. Oh, they would never do that. I've seen young people do a lot of things that their parents said, Johnny will never do that. And everybody else is saying, yeah, watch out for Johnny. If something doesn't seem right, if something else doesn't seem right, you really seek the Lord about it and be watchful of your children. Be diligent. I've heard children deny things that I knew for sure their children did. And the children say, oh, no, I didn't do that. And everybody saw it, but they believe, the parents believe their children rather than people that heard and saw and knew exactly what happened. So let's not be naive. We want to trust our children, but folks, God gave us children in our charge, and we want to be watchful and consistent with that. The Scripture says, let us not be weary in what? In well-doing. I just don't feel like dealing with it today. So let's just kind of turn our head and get busy like we didn't see it. So our children will think that they can, you know, they won't expect us to deal with it because we didn't see it. Consistency, parents, is so important. Sometimes we don't feel like taking care of our children's discipline problems. But it will pay good dividends at a young age if you will teach them respect and obedience and respect for other children, respect for one another, respect for authority. There's a lot more that could be said on that, but I believe in parenting consistency is one of the greatest things we could do. I'd like us to move, and we're gonna go from parenting to consistency as a child of God. The Scripture in James 1:8 says that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. In other words, unstable is inconsistent. A double-minded man is inconsistent. We're going to have a desire to follow the things of God more than anything else in life, or we're not going to be successful spiritually. And my desire is, I want to be successful, Lord. I want You to bless me in my soul. I want to be strong in the Lord. I want the Lord to bless my home. I want Him to bless my children. I want Him to bless the congregation. Folks, consistency. I know there's those special moments that God pours out His blessings in our life. But do you know, to get to those moments in life, there's going to have to be a measure of consistency in our devotion to the Lord. Seeing some people, it's just in the good times they seek after God. Seeing other times, it's just when things get really bad, they turn to the Lord. But consistency is, in good times and bad times, Lord, my heart is still to serve You. And when I don't understand what's going on, and I'm just all the questions and the hardships, Lord, my mind is made up and I'm going to be consistent in my service. That is what will enable us to grow in the Lord, folks. It's just day by day serving the Lord. Daniel 6, chapter 10. Remember in Daniel that Daniel had some enemies, and they had the king put out an edict that anybody that prayed to anybody besides the king or asked of anything besides the king, that they would be thrown in the lion's den. Daniel, after he knew that, Daniel 6:10, it says Daniel knew that the writing was signed. It said he went into his house and his windows being open. See, that's the way it had always been. He wasn't trying to put it in their face. There are some people that are in your face about their righteousness, and that's more stubbornness than anything. He wasn't changing anything. It's what I've always done. He went in, and it said he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, he was consistent. If we want to grow in the Lord and feel His blessings and experience it, Lord, help us to be consistent in prayer. You ever got, sometimes it's easy to get so busy and we've got so much pulling on our mind? And I have found it just seems like in this day and age, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And if you think once you retire, you'll have all this time to read and pray, I can tell you it doesn't happen that way. Seeing people with, it doesn't seem like anything else to do. They're retired at home and they say, I'm really struggling to find time to read and pray. And I, well, you know, you don't have a job. You don't have children to take care of. You don't have, it's about consistency. And we need to form those patterns that, Lord, I want to be consistent in my prayer life, consistent in service. The scripture Paul spoke in Philippians 1:27, he said, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the affairs of the gospel. In other words, sometimes that, oh, someone's coming, it's kind of like the house. Oh, we're having visitors, let's hurry up and clean the house. Well, if the house were consistently clean, there'd be no need for a rush, would there? This is what he's talking about spiritually. Now, I understand sometimes the house needs that quick once-over. I understand that. But spiritually, Paul was saying, whether I come and see you or I'm absent, and I hear about what's going on, that you are with one mind striving for the faith, for the gospel. In other words, that you're being consistent, that you're not letting up or letting down. Folks, whether we're in service on Sunday morning, or whether it's Monday when we're just at home in the privacy of our home, or whether we're on vacation, let's strive to be consistent in our manner of life, in our speech, in our, someone recently was saying, well, yeah, they, you know, so and so, they dress this way when they come to church and they dress this way when they're out. Do you know the Lord wants us to be consistent? Consistently holy, consistently modest, consistently pure, consistently godly. The Lord wants us because that's what brings us and maintains that relationship with God. It's not about what I think or what the person sitting next to you think. It's about our relationship with the Lord. I want consistency in my home. I want it in the congregation. And do you know the Lord wants that consistency from me in my spiritual walk as well? He wants us to know that I can rely on them. It's not just camp meeting time. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're consistent in their manner of living and in their walk with God. Consistent in our attitudes, consistent in our discipline, consistent in the standards that we maintain and that we hold in our life. And I wonder sometimes if we just stopped and really questioned ourselves, say, do we have a double standard? Are we being consistent with our life, or it kind of depends on where we are and who's around and what's happening? Or is there a consistency and steadfastness? Lord wants steadfastness. And I would conclude with this morning, this afternoon, and that is in the work of God. Started out with the scripture this morning in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, in the work of the Lord, we can't go off a feeling. Term limits, Brother Randy. That wasn't pointed either. In the work of the Lord, sometimes it's, Lord, we'll work for you this amount of time. And I know sometimes we all like a break, but do you know that there are so many times in life for the places God has called all of us to, that sometimes we just would rather go to our corner and mind our own business, so to speak, you know what I'm saying? And just quietly, just not worry about anybody or anything else. But the work of the Lord, there's lots of needs. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of temporal needs. There's a lot of spiritual needs. And each one of us, all of us here this afternoon, are important in the work of God. And I want to encourage us to be consistent and steadfast. Do you know whether you're preaching or teaching, there are times you start to feel a little bit burned out. And if all of us quit, who would be left? I can tell you if all the pastors and ministers quit that felt like it, you know, I don't know if there'd be any left. Same thing with Sunday school teachers. And so that's where sometimes we have to be instant, in season, out of season. That, Lord, I don't feel like it, but Lord, I'm a willing vessel and I want to do what you want me to do. And that doesn't mean there's not times for change sometimes, but it's not in changing that I'm just stopping working for the Lord. The Lord may have a different aspect or a different area, but the Lord is looking for all of us to work for Him in spite of feeling. It's like family worship. You know, this is something that's so important. We talk about consistency for as parents to take time for family worship with our children. Every single day, I encourage, especially again, and I know we're a few here today, but all of us to take time daily with our children. When they're young, teaching them the Bible stories, spending time praying with them, and as they get older, spending that time just to talk about life. Not a time to preach at them, but a time to talk about the practical things of life before they become a problem. Preparing them for adulthood, it starts at a very young age, and that's going to take consistency. Because a lot of times we're busy. We have things to do, and it's easy just to, well, go have prayer by your bed. We've done that. We've done that different times. But consistency and having a family altar, reading the Bible together, talking about life together, that's some of the most invaluable time in my growing up years, and I believe in the lives of our family, that has been that time that we set everything else aside, talk about life. You know when to start teaching about marriage? Right here. When they're young. Time to start talking to them about jobs and how to, you know, relationships and problems that come. And you think, oh, they won't need that for 15 years. You don't wait till they're 16 or 18 to start dealing with these issues. We start when they're down here. So they grow up just kind of like those things. Well, we've always known that. How did our children always know that? Because parents diligently taught us when we were very, very young. And it took consistency. The same thing applies in our service to the Lord, that, Lord, I want to be a contributing part of the kingdom of God, consistent in service, consistent in fellowship. The Scripture says not the forsaking of the assembling of yourselves is, as the manner of some is, but as we see the day approaching, folks, we need one another. We need the time that we say, you know what, I'm busy, but I'm going to set aside the time and come and be in worship. And there's a renewing and there's something that discipline does in our life. Even maybe if that service didn't get a lot out of it, that consistency breeds spiritual stability in our service to the Lord. I want success for all of us individually this afternoon. I want success as a congregation. I want to see us as parents in our marriages, in our homes, in our jobs, just temporally. Want to see us be successful, and one of those keys is going to be inconsistency. I believe all of us have been inconsistent in areas. You know, even thinking about weight loss, you know, weight loss doesn't come from being real good one day. You know, it took quite a bit of time to get to sometimes where we might be. It takes consistent carefulness in the little things, day after day after day, and that's what makes a difference. That's what's going to make a difference in our lives practically in living for the Lord and in filling the function that we do in the families and in the body of Christ. Lord bless you all this week. Let's pray for one another and seek the Lord to be a consistent people, because therein we'll find success.